You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes,
is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait. Let's check.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. Bart, give him the number.
Let me turn my Miz icon. 1-800-919-37. Hit mute.
It's never smooth. Try it again.
1-800-919-3776.
Listen to that voice.
Smooth jazz. 98.7. The heat.
What about if they can't get us on the phone?
Oh, if they can't get us on the phone, man, then they definitely got to hit us on the tweet. Yeah, Barton, huh? And if they can't get us on the tweet, hit us on the grizzam. At Barton, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't get us there, listen, I know you got time. You got a lot of stuff on your mind. Cam Newton could lose to the Bills. You can go 4-5 or 2-4.
Some lunatic on Get Up this morning called for his job.
Well, yeah. Some crazy guy said that the general manager should be fired and you should just only be allowed to coach, Bill. But go ahead and tell them where they can find us if they can't get us on all those other outlets.
Snap face, instant chat, or whatever it is.
I like it. Okay. And on our Twitter right now, Barton Han, we ask the question, as we are in the eve of Halloween, is, oh, I'm sorry, that's right. I'm told we're supposed to call it Hanoween. I feel weird. Like you should say it, Bart, not me. Because for me to say it is kind of like
Hanoween.
There you go. That's what it is today. The question is this.
Hanoween.
Who is that, Paul Bear? Is that who that was? Your biggest fears for your favorite teams.
Mm. My biggest fear, you want to know mine?
Here in New York or anywhere else.
That's easy.
Go ahead.
Mine is that the Jets mess around and win 2 games.
Damn.
If they
I'll tell you what. As you look at the schedule, the Falcons won last night.
Yes.
So they have 2 wins.
I never rooted so hard in my life. But against Teddy Bridgewater.
Hey, they held on this time. The defense came through this time. They didn't give away a lead this time.
And you saw it coming. You looked at cool, like really cool. All you had to do was hit an extra damn point.
Crazy.
9, game over. We can celebrate. But no. You want to leave the door open.
Yeah, and Hurls was playing him, I think, in his daily fantasy. But they get the win, and how about them knocking out Teddy Bridgewater? I was about to fight somebody.
See, but did you see the reaction when you actually care about your teammate and he's
no doubt.
Good guy? Opposed to if you don't care with those heartless.
Charles Harris, I don't care how big he is. I was going to fight him. That's my son. I love Teddy Bridgewater. Everybody knows that.
Yeah. Teddy's a great guy, man.
Teddy's a great guy.
The crazy thing is, people love and think that he's like Andy Dalton's a class guy. They just showed you what chumps those guys are.
That's the Cowboys thing, yeah. Yeah, we'll go around. Also, week 8, we're in the middle of the season. Middle of the season already in the NFL.
Halfway mark.
Crazy?
Halfway mark.
And so now what you have this weekend with the Falcons getting their second win, and this is how pathetic we are because this is what we're doing now. We're like, we're the race to the bottom. Let's go. Like, we'll make a commercial for this. But you have 1-win teams. Ready? Minnesota. They're playing Green Bay.
Oh, you got to watch out for them.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm scared of them because Kirk Cousins is just bad enough.
That's what I mean.
They're selling off pieces.
They're starting to sell off pieces. They've got a COVID issue up there. They got another offensive lineman now got it. So, yeah, Minnesota's a team you got. That's a sneaky team that could just come in and swoop and take away Trevor Lawrence, who, by the way, also has COVID. And I'm not laughing. I just said it's the irony of the whole thing.
We punch COVID in the face.
And punch it in the face. He's just not as strong as Nick Saban. Yeah,
Storm Norman.
The Giants are the other one-win team, and they play Tampa on Monday night.
Oh, that's going to be...
And that's another team to watch out for, because are they falling out of love?
New poll.
With Daniel Jones.
New poll.
Hang on, not done. Okay. We'll get to the poll in a second. Cincinnati, which has one win, although they also have a tie.
And they have a great quarterback, though.
They play Tennessee. They don't need a quarterback, right? So you feel like they're not a threat. Then you have Jacksonville and Houston, who don't play there. They're in a bye. They play each other next week.
Right.
So one of them's going to have it. Right. One of them's going to have at least two. And the best case scenario is if one of them gets, if they both tie, it gets them out of the equation as well. So that's the scenario, is the Jets play the Chiefs this weekend. And I mean, you know, we kind of know what's going to happen there. I don't think we're really, you know, this. I think it would be one of the greatest upsets in the history of sports if the Jets win this game. So you're looking at it that way, and you're saying, okay, you want to get that top pick because that top pick's going to have so much value. And Bart, of course, the player everybody's talking about is Trevor Lawrence.
Yes.
Trevor Lawrence will not play this weekend because he tested positive for COVID. And he has some mild symptoms, too. And so there's nothing to watch. You know, like, that's the thing. We've been watching him. So much New York emphasis on him, even in the press conferences now when they do Zooms. There's a lot of New York reporters now that are in on this stuff week after week. There's a lot of interest in this guy. He is now out for this weekend's game. He might miss a big game next week against Notre Dame, which is a huge game. And so, I mean, how do you react to this? We don't overreact to it. We just hope he gets better. We hope, you know, he has to go through a whole protocol now, which is basically 10 days isolation according to the ACC protocol. And I don't know. Like, I find it strange that Nick Saban can get, like, two quick tests and prove that the positive was a false positive and be on the sideline pulling his mask down, screaming at officials 3 days later, and Trevor Lawrence is basically now in lockdown for 10 days. Yeah. Amazing, isn't it?
But also you get afraid that, you know, what, you know, Nick Saban don't have to play. And you wondered, we had Myron Roll on there who, you know, played, you know, second round draft pick for the Titans, Florida State, blah, blah, blah. And he's now a neurosurgeon, and he said he wouldn't feel comfortable putting him out there that soon. But you know that all medical professionals kind of is going to err on the side of caution. I mean, we see over and over again these guys test. We saw Cam come back quickly. We saw Stephon Gilmore come back quickly. So I just don't know, like, what the appropriate answer is. And I wonder at what point does, you know, do you start considering, you know, that Trevor should maybe start thinking about what's best for him long term and not trying to rush back and err on the side of caution and say, you know what, even if it is Notre Dame, if I'm not playing, the committee would look at it like, okay, well, he didn't play, so we know he's better than that, opposed to him coming back and playing badly and losing to Notre Dame.
I just, you know,
we just want to protect our asset, man. Put him in bubble wrap. It's all good, Trevor.
He should just sit out the rest of the season. He's already won a Heisman. He's already won a national championship. What does he need at this point?
Exactly. Never mind. I can't go that way. But
no,
it's crazy though, because, like, as we think about this week, and I'm starting to contemplate realistically, who do we think is going to get blown out by more? The Jets or the Giants?
That's your question?
That's my question. Like, what's the pool on that? Because you know that Tom is going psycho time, and he got Antonio
Brown. It's Monday night.
Right. Bill Belichick.
Exactly. He's got a new toy.
Because remember,
it's Monday night, and Bill Belichick probably is going to lose to the Bills and pretty much lock that they will not win the division this year. It's been a long time. So you think that Tom Brady won't have all that stuff in the back of his mind on national stage where I'm going to now light it up and let everybody else, like that would be, that's the ultimate petty. That's the ultimate petty move.
Tom Brady's made his whole empire off being petty. I can name everybody that was picked before me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, come on, man. He talks about cycle time, how it's created.
Yeah. Right?
But also, you talk about, remember what the narrative was at the beginning of the year. The beginning of the year was like, oh, Bill Belichick doesn't need Tom Brady. Look how great Cam looked in the run game. It's just things that he can do with Cam Newton that he can never do with Tom Brady. Then it was like, oh, he threw for 300 yards against Seattle Seahawks and Jamal Adams until we knew that they sucked. That everybody throws for 400 against that defense. And remember what that narrative was. So he doesn't need Tom. He did it with Matt Castle. How would you like to have Matt Castle now? What this whole thing is exposed is how bad of a general manager Bill Belichick is. The fact that he hasn't drafted a Pro Bowler –
Mm-hmm.
Since 2013. That would be 7 years, ladies and gentlemen. And that was Jamie Collins, and he cut him twice. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, Tom, who's going to lose by more? Because you got a motivated Tom, and you got an empathetic, sarcastic Chris Jones. Oh, this is a good team.
Oh my God. How about that line?
Really? You just
totally sunned him.
For those who didn't hear it,
here's Chris Jones of the Chiefs when asked about the Jets.
It's a huge danger. If I'm correct, 2 years ago, we walked into New York Jets, and I think there was 1-8, 1-9, and we ended up losing the game. And you can't take these games for granted. That's a very good football team. Sam Darnold, he doesn't get the credit, but he's a very, very good quarterback. And I think people tend to forget that because of their record, but they have guys out there, and they play really well. They've been in a lot of close games.
Name them!
You can't take those guys for granted.
I want names. I want names.
How about he goes, they got guys out there.
He's like, you know, they got guys. Stuff. They got Le'Veon Bell. Oh, never mind. He's on our team.
They got guys. They play. They have a uniform. Like, what? Like, you know what he's doing here? Bart, you had to have had to go through this in your career. What he's doing here is like, I'm trying to stay locked in on this team. Because we just watched film, and it was like we were watching a sitcom. Like, it was kind of comedy. Like we're not scared at all. But I need to stay locked in. Like, I can't get soft here. I can't overlook this, because it would be embarrassing to even have this be a game. So I got to create now a reason to be like motivated to play this game. Tell me you didn't have this same thing go through your head when you guys played against, you know, bums.
Yeah, but I've never been on a team as good as Kansas City offensively. They're Super Bowl champions. Okay. It's, man, like when you get to the point where you got to lie to yourself, just lie to yourself, man. Like, you can lie to anybody else, but you lying to yourself, that's a scary thing. That's how bad the Jets are, that you got to try and convince yourself or lie to yourself without laughing. I'm surprised he didn't listen. This dude should be an actor, because I'm surprised he didn't start laughing. He didn't come out of character.
It's fair, and it's true, it's reality, and that's certainly what it is about this weekend as well. Again, 800-919-3776. We got Chris Candy going to join us at 11:30, and we'll go deeper into the NFL and all around the league and stuff like that with him, as we always do. But we want to get calls going early on the show, because as you know, it's a Friday, it's a football Friday, it's a very busy show, so we want to get the conversation going, like we said, 800-919-3776. And, you know, with Halloween tomorrow, I'm just wondering, too, how do we handle Halloween? Like, what are we doing here? Do we go door to door? Like, what do I do with my kids? Are they
just scare them?
Do that like we used to do? Do you really want to take candy from a house where you don't really know all your neighbors? Like, you know, are you sure it's the best thing to do? Like, you know, there's so much uncertainty this year around the holidays, and this certainly is one of them. So instead, we try to celebrate it today. They want to call it Halloween. I find it to be a kind of awkward thing to say, to be honest with you, but we'll do that. And our question to you will be the scariest thing for you, for your teams going forward. Like, if you're a Met fan, the scariest thing is that Cohen doesn't get the votes to be the owner, right? If you're the Yankees, scariest thing is that they lose DJ LeMahieu. Maybe you could say that. Like, what are some of the scary things? Scary thing if you're a Knicks fan, they'll play. No, I'm just kidding. 800-919-3776. Let's grab Bobby and Rockaway to start us off. Bobby?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call, guys. I have a question. How bad do you Jets fans want Trevor Lawrence?
He's that good of a player that to have him as an asset, even if I kept Sam and him and just let it, like, for a year, let's figure it out. That's a player with his pedigree. Like, it's really hard to pass on him. I get the idea of all the assets, but the more and more I look into this, the more I think you can't pass on this guy. You can't.
Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees.
My question is, say if Cincinnati gets the first pick, obviously they don't need him. Would the Jets be willing to part ways with a guy like Mekhi Becton, and because that's their weakness?
Hell no. Now, why would you get rid of the most important piece to I don't understand. How would you give up the most important piece to having a quarterback, and then to get the quarterback? That part, Bobby. That's not the way I'm doing it. I appreciate the call, but that we don't even begin. See, that's what if you're the GM and I'm the GM and you just did that, I hang up on you. Call me when you've got something real to talk about. But Rob is on Long Island. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey guys, being a Jet fan, I know that they could potentially screw this up. But can you just give me the scenarios where the Jets would not get the first pick. Like, could they potentially win a game and then be tied with other one-win teams, and then they get screwed out of that? Can you guys help me with this? Because I'm ready to just give up.
Well, the Jets have strength of schedule.
Oh, it's brutal. So, it's going to get real tough now.
Yeah, so if you go with the tiebreakers, you got the strength of schedule saying that, you know what, yeah, we have the same record, but I lost to better opponents than you, so therefore I should get the first overall pick.
That's a fair point, the tiebreaker on that end. But just listen to your opponents coming up here. Kansas City. Now, New England suddenly doesn't sound as daunting. It's Monday night next week, but it's still Bill Belichick on a Monday night. Then you have your bye. Then it's at the Chargers. All right. Then you have Miami, a good Miami team, a good Vegas team, at Seattle, at Rams, Browns in week 16, and then at New England to finish. Find me the W. Where's the win? You tell me. Bart, do you see one now at this point?
Man, I didn't see one.
I thought their chances were this past couple weeks.
I didn't see one past Miami, man.
I'm telling you, like this is legitimately, and I never wanted to admit this, but this legitimately could be an 0-16 season. Very much has the potential to do that. It's hard to go 0-16. It is hard to do that in this league, but they have a chance to do that. Dale in Pennsylvania, good Dale.
How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I just wanted to ask you about with the Jets game this weekend. Do you think that if Le'Veon Bell was to go off and just run rampant all over the Jets this weekend, do you think that that would pretty much like end the love affair that Christopher Johnson has with Adam Gase, and at that point you couldn't do anything but fire him?
Bro, that love affair.
After you just released him?
That love affair is already gone. Trust me. Like, don't let the little smile on Christopher Johnson's face and him being professional and going through the thing. Like, this dude, listen, the Johnsons can be brutal. But they ain't going to do it. Ruthless. They ain't going to do it. They ain't going to go do it, like, frowning. They're going to do it with a smile on their face and thank you for your services. But at the end of the day, you still going to be collecting unemployment. So it don't matter how they do it. Trust me. They just letting them play it out. Listen, they don't want to let – I don't think they want Gase to be able to go and enjoy yourself on the beach while they
get paid. Don't get those L's on your record.
Have to handle those press conferences. Nah, you got to own all those. Yeah, you ain't making. He's not calling plays again. What do you think that means? Dude's not calling plays. He was brought here to call plays. Are they not telling you? But they're still keeping him on. They're still making him have to eat it and live it. Because after 2 years, you're getting rid of him. You're paying him for 3 more years. So while you're here, you're gonna have to live with this.
Let's take James in Lake Grove. Go ahead, James.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. So I have a theory here. I think Justin Fields is as good, if not better, all-around quarterback than Trevor Lawrence. My suggestion here for this.
Was that one game? After one game?
It's a small sample size, but I really...
Trevor Lawrence won a championship and a Heisman.
He threw for 200 yards.
I understand that, but you're going to see, going on in the year... Justin Fields is going to shoot up draft charts.
Of course.
He's going to do that. Like there's no doubt he's going to shoot up.
Six.
He's going to be a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
So the kid from Nevada. But are you going to take, get a high pick, are you going to be the one? Like the team like the Jets or the Giants can't afford to make that pick and be right. They can't afford to take the non-perfect pick. Well, the Giants have
You're going to pass on a guy that is going to be a generational quarterback. That's the question.
Generational quarterback Andrew Luck retired.
He's still generational.
What you think talking about here is if you trade back, you could get 3 or 4 first and second round picks.
I'm with you. I understand.
Quarterback.
I understand. That is the lure.
You know who else they passed on that it wasn't popular? Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, who thought he was going to.
Exactly.
He thought the Jets were taking him. And when they didn't, he was surprised. And every time I hear that, and the reason why is because McKagan had Hackenberg. And Hackenberg didn't even start, didn't even play.
Hackenberg
he never even
hack.
Played, and you had this guy. How do you do that? Here's the problem, James. And this is where I was, because I was with you. I was all. Bart sold me on the idea of you get that number one pick, you trade it, you do the Jimmy Johnson thing. Bill Parcells tried that. When Peyton Manning said, I don't want to play for the Jets, instead of taking Orlando Pace, he decided, I'm going to trade out of the number one, I'm going to get all these picks, and we're going to rebuild this franchise. And they got no one in that draft. No one. Leon Johnson, maybe they got in that draft, right? Farrier. They did not do what they thought they could do in that draft. And all he had to do was guarantee Peyton, I will take you number one. That's all he had to do.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't do it.
Or,
so that's your mistake.
Or take
Orlando
Pace.
And that can hold you back. So it's, yeah, right, or Pace. It is not about the draft picks, everybody. It's about who's making those picks. The scouting, do you trust it and all that stuff? What are you looking at? Because you passed on Patrick Mahomes. You passed on Patrick Mahomes. Just think about that. Don't tell me, well, so did 12 other teams. Don't tell me that, or 10, whatever it was. Don't tell me that, because I don't care about those teams. I
care about what you did.
I'm like a parent right now. I don't care what he's doing. That's your friend. I care about what you're doing. And you still haven't proven that you have the scouting or the chops to make the right picks. Now, I hope Joe Douglas does. But I can't put all of my faith in just the hope of a new GM getting it right. How about we just do the thing that is the obvious thing to do? The simple, obvious thing to do. Take the best player and then figure it out from there. Bart, don't you agree? I did buy into what you were saying about getting all these picks. But I feel like, I don't know if the Jets are in a position to do something like that.
Right. And I mean, if you want to go with that theory, then you can do what the San Diego Chargers at that time did, and that's go ahead and draft.
Now, did they make the right choice though?
That's tough. That's because tough.
Breeze turned into, although Rivers has had a nice career, Breeze has turned into the more successful.
They're both Hall of Famers.
It's just, but one has a ring, one doesn't.
But one has stability at the head coach and as an organization, and the other one didn't.
Yeah, he found the right coach for him, didn't he? In Sean Payton, there's no question about that. All right, Dave's in East Meadow. Good, Dave.
Good morning, guys. Great show. Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, my biggest fear is the Jets will figure out a way to blow this number one pick. And I don't mean making the pick. I mean keeping the pick. I mean, if they go out and win games, God forbid, we blow the number one pick, whether you want to take Lawrence or you go with the Bart Scott school, which I agree with, try to get 2 ones and 2 twos for him, package that, keep that with what you have already, what you have from Seattle. Would likely be the number one pick in the second round. You could have 4 or 5 picks in the top 33 in the draft. Get your defensive end, get a wide receiver, get a cornerback, you know, get Darnold some help with another offensive lineman, and completely reset the franchise. But if we blow that, and then maybe they even consider bringing back Gase,
would they consider bringing back Gase?
Hell,
can you
no.
just answer that?
Yeah. Man.
No. Like from what you know, that's a fait accompli.
You got a better chance of Allen joining the Big Three and leading the team to the championship.
How dare
and
you
hand it to Ice Cube? I'm just playing.
That's funny.
Hey, I can shoot. It's a half court.
You got a sweet jumper.
Allen Hahn is a sweet jumper.
That's right. Don't you forget it. Dempsey's in the Bronx on the Giants. Go ahead, Dempsey.
Hey, Allen Bartholomew. Thanks for taking my call.
What up?
My biggest fear with the Giants, real quick, is the Giants still failing. Daniel Jones still has turnover problems in the second half of the season, and we're one in 15, 2-15, and we're giving up on him. Because I still believe in Daniel Jones, and I think we're going to turn it around a little bit in the second half. And let me tell you my crazy, outlandish reasons why I don't think the Giants can actually win this game. I don't think the Giants are going to win this game with the Bucs. But everybody's saying it's going to be a blowout, it's going to be annihilated, and that's not what the Giants have done outside of that 49ers game. The defense is good. Daniel Jones' best career of his game, one of his best career games was against Tampa Bay, and that defense is not astronomically
his first career game
from last year. Yeah, it was first career game.
And I believe that the reason why he won it, right, because he got out-intercepted by the other quarterback.
Yeah. Who's blocking Sue this week? Because Necro Man is on the shelf this week.
Listen, I understand all the reasons why they're going to lose, but I'm trying to just give you the outlandish reasons why they're going to win.
You sound like the Mighty Ducks.
Another thing is the Giants are the Achilles heel to Tom Brady. Tom Brady always has something against the Giants. That's another reason. And I think coming into Monday night, the Giants play it close. That plus 12, plus 11
is
and
Canty
a half,
playing?
I guarantee the Giants keep it under 6.
Is Chris playing? Is Canty playing? Let's save that. Is Eli playing?
Let's save that. Dempsey, we got you.
Justin Tuck playing?
Call us Tuesday, Dempsey. We got you.
Is OC playing? Pierre Paul playing?
He said they're going to keep winning.
Yeah, Pierre's on the other side, damn it.
We got it. God, I love Giants fans. We got some great games to talk about, but we have some headlines. So let's do a couple of headlines real quick, and then we'll get the Blitz and Prevent. Sound good?
Let's do it.
Outside of the NFL, we have other stories going on in the world of sports, and they're interesting ones. And one of them involves the Brooklyn Nets. According to Woj, they're adding to the coaching staff led by Steve Nash, and also Amari Stoudemire is on the coaching staff. Mike D'Antoni So this is now a reunion of the Phoenix Suns mid-2000s, where Mike D'Antoni was the head coach and Nash and Amari were the basically the two stars on that team. And they were the 7 seconds or less kind of offense. So I guess we're getting this sense now of what you're seeing in Brooklyn is that Nash is sort of the manager of personalities and D'Antoni's just going to have them run his system. Since essentially that's what it's going to be, right? Like you figure Mike's just going to handle the offense and the rest of the coaches are there to sort of just, you know, develop and coddle. And the stars are just going to run a system that they want to run, which is a very a wide open, not a lot of rules and regulations to it whatsoever. It's just screen roll, spread, and defense is basically when you score, they can't get the ball out quick. So they can't get on a break.
Now, this year they did. They did play better defense. They locked down because they
knew. Who they? Who's they? No, seriously, who's they? Who are you talking about?
Well, Harden.
Oh, you're talking about the Rockets?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. They had the mentality defensively, but I'm just saying, for the most part, though, if you're looking at the personality of the Brooklyn team and they don't want to be coached and told what to do and they don't want to be challenged, this is a perfect offense for them because it's essentially, it's up to you what you want to do. You have your choices, you have options, and use your talent to take advantage of the options that are before you. I think it's exactly what a guy like Kyrie would want. I think KD will. I think they'll thrive. You could see this Brooklyn team, if they have enough shooting, they could be one of the highest scoring teams in the league. And I mean, I'm not going. That's not a hot take. I mean, it's obvious, right? You got two guys that can average 30 a game between them. They have the ability and the talent on that team to be one of They could average easily like 116, 118, 120. They could be that kind of a team. That really, it's fireworks. And you don't have to worry about defense when you're averaging 115 to 120 points a game. You don't.
Yeah.
So that's something to keep an eye on. So they add D'Antoni, and that's an interesting hire. All right, another one on the baseball front. This is something that, you know, you were wondering where the Yankees were going to go here. Zach Greinke's, did I really say Zach Greinke? Oh, Zach okay. Britton's option was picked up this year.
Who wasn't, though?
Yeah, I'm getting that. J-Hap, option not picked up. Brett Gardner option not picked up.
Yes.
See ya!
It's time.
Yeah. Hap, you figure they're moving on from since he was miserable as a Yankee. But Britton, obviously, is an interesting one now because you have that extra option. Now you have that year to work with. And then you have, I think you got to make a decision. Is Chapman still your closer? Is Britton going to be the guy that you go forward with later? You know, I do think that's interesting. But having Britton back is very important. And they got that done. Now, of course, the next thing up, DJ LeMahieu, when they can get that done. Interesting, though, Bart, do you think it's interesting that the Rays declined the option on Charlie Morton? $15 million.
It is.
It's a lot of money. He's still a very effective pitcher, but they have to be cost conscious here.
Yeah, they got
to
start paying some other people, too. I mean, Snell's going to want some more money in a minute. Has he gotten paid yet?
Who's that, Snell? Yeah. Snell got the contract. No, I think it's Glasnow, the one that they're going to have to pay.
Right, Glasnow. So it's like one of those things. And like you said, it's unfortunate they got to operate with such a tight budget because they do such a great job in getting bang for their buck. You know,
now remember, Morton is a guy.
Why don't A-Rod go down there and buy the Tampa Bay Rays? Does he just not want to live in Tampa? Like, I mean, why don't you just buy the Rays? You got all this money. Go buy the Rays and get
the
money.
They need a stadium. You don't want to see, again, the reason why you buy the Marlins is because they got a brand new stadium. You don't buy the Rays because they need a stadium and they can't get one. That's why you don't buy the Rays. You buy the Rays after the stadium. Or if you have property and you can build one.
But the biggest issue down in
Tampa is they can't get a stadium.
Okay.
And every time they come close to getting one, something gets in the way and they can't build one.
Okay, so here's the thing, right? They're willing to bid $2 billion or $2.1 billion, right?
Yeah.
For the Mets, right? They can probably bid $800 million for the Tampa Bay Rays and take the other $1.2 billion and build your own damn stadium. How about that?
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want to. I'm not sure. But that's, I mean, is that...
It's not flashy enough. You get a good team off the rip.
Yeah. You also buy a team because you want it to be lucrative in some way, marketing-wise and all that other stuff. And I don't know if the Rays are really going to
sell a lot of merchandise. You got the Lightning doing anything. You got the Lightning that's doing their thing. You got the Rays that's doing their thing. You got the Bucks that's doing
their thing. You got Tom Brady and
the Bucks. It's time to do it, baby. It's changing. Okay.
All right, let's see. A-Rod, J-Lo, go to Tampa, buy the Rays.
Order Wilpons. Take
and then buy Jeter's house and live there.
Exactly. That could be the office.
It's passive aggressive. Wouldn't that be something? A story in hockey that I want to just get to quickly. Not that I want to rush through it, but it's just, again, we got other things to do. But you can't overlook this story, and that is the passing of Travis Roy, who was played at Boston University. He had one shift his freshman year in 1995 and missed on a check and broke his neck and was a quadriplegic for the rest of his career. It's an amazing story, though, of perseverance. I mean, you think about a player and what a heartbreaking story it begins as, and yet it ends inspirational. And that's what, you know, again, these stories in sports that happen, and you don't know why they happen, but then you see the effect afterwards. I mean, Eric LeGrand, obviously, we know that story here personally. But it is something amazing, and he was somebody that inspired a lot of people afterwards and told his story and did all he could for research and to find ways to just, again, I think it was more to reach people who are in the same position he is and he was. He passed away at the age of 45 yesterday. The world of hockey certainly mourned the loss. A lot of people knew him, got to know him. But if you don't know his story, Travis Roy, R-O-Y, Boston University, it is one to look up, and I still can't believe it hasn't become a movie yet. It is just amazing. He lived his dream. His dream was to play at BU. He did, for one shift. It was a tragic ending for him, for his career, but what it did, you know, the rest of his life and the impact he had on others cannot be overlooked. So I just wanted to mention that, certainly.
Yeah, always today. Amazed. Yeah, always amazed at, you know, the... just the perseverance of the human spirit, right?
Dennis Byrd is another example.
Dennis Byrd, who I have his T-shirt that he gave me for the playoff game that was cut off of him when he got paralyzed. He gave it to me after the Can't Wait game. Mm-hmm. And also, you look at Eric LeGrand. And, you know, just the power of the human spirit, man, and how they forged forward. And you know, O.J. Bergantz with the ALS. And, you know those people, I think, are chosen to inspire and provide hope. And you know, he lived his dream, but he inspired his impact on people's lives that he don't even know would never be measured.
It's amazing how you put that. It's like some people, because you wonder, like, why me? Is always got to feel like that first reaction, right? Yeah. Why me? And like you said, some people are chosen. You know, I always tell my son, going through what he's going through in his career right now and trying to get somewhere and chase his dreams, and, you know, there's things that happen, like COVID could affect his season this year as he's trying to be scouted and trying to get to the next level. And he's frustrated by it. And I tell him, man plans and God laughs, right? That's really how it goes. And if you have that mentality, you don't have that victimization of why me. You just go, okay, this is the path. Let me go down this path and let me just see where this goes. But again, Travis Roy, he lived one of the most chilling, heartbreaking, yet inspirational stories in sports ever told. And left a legacy at Boston University for hockey and in the hockey world. And if there's ever a hockey version of Field of Dreams, I hope he has a spot on the ice there, because it'd be great for him and just great to have that image in your mind of him skating once again. All right, 800-919-3776 is the number. We'll keep the calls rolling. We do have audio files coming up bottom of the hour. But right now, Bart, you ready? Week 8, Blitz or Prevent.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
All right. We mentioned this game already, but let's talk about it one more time. Steelers-Ravens. Steelers 6-0. Ravens 5-1. A 1 o'clock game on CBS. You got the big ones. This is Nance and Romo and Wolfson. You got this is the big crew for this game.
Here we go, Jim.
Baltimore is laying 4.5 last I checked in this game.
Yeah.
So how close is this rivalry? Including the playoffs, teams are 23-23 against each other. Why is it always so good? Maybe consistency. John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin, they've been battling it out since 2008. According to Elias, they're the first pair of head coaches in the Super Bowl era to face each other 25 times. Only George Halas and Curly Lambeau have coached against each other more. And that was 48 times, Bart.
Love Curly.
So how about identity? When you talk about the Steelers and you talk about the Ravens, you think defense. This year, the teams rank 1 and 2 in defensive efficiency. Baltimore, best scoring defense, allowing just over 17 points a game. Pittsburgh leads the NFL in total defense, allowing 286 yards per game. They're both top 3 in blitz percentage. This is the first of 2 meetings this season. The next one, Thanksgiving night. So blitz or prevent, this will be the first real test of Big Ben's comeback, and he will be seeing ghosts by the end of the game.
I tell you, I'm a blitzer, but I think, listen, Big Ben and the Pittsburgh Steelers are better battle tested. You saw last week they had a tough game against the Tennessee Titans, and they passed the test, even though Ben tried to give it away in the second half, throwing those three interceptions. But, you know, Lamar Jackson has to start being able to throw the ball from the pocket, as teams have, I believe, figured out this run game and devised plans because they've had success, and it's been on the film for 2 years. So, listen, I think this is more important for the Ravens to win than it is for the Steelers, because are going to be fine. And this is usually going to come down to who can win a division. They're already one game behind the Steelers. And the way the Steelers are playing, I don't see how they lose too many more games. So the Ravens got to try and catch one to close the gap.
I like it. Next one, Patriots at Bills. The Pats, I mean, look at this record, man. 2-4. Bills, 5-2. 1 o'clock also. All the games 1 o'clock, the good ones. Buffalo's laying 4 in this game at home. Now, Bart, the AFC East hasn't been this available to a team not named the Patriots since 2002. Oh, I'm aware they didn't win it in 08. The Dolphins did. But you remember that Miami won it in a tiebreaker. They both had the same record.
Yeah.
The Bills have a chance to take a stranglehold on a division that has been dominated for most of the last two decades by one team. As Tom Brady's Bucks thrive, Bill Belichick is getting all the smoke. Now, for poor roster management, Cam Newton openly admits he's close to losing his job after he was benched last week due to poor performance. He just called this a must-win for the Patriots, who, by the way, will be without Julian Edelman for a period of some time after undergoing a knee procedure. Meanwhile, Josh Allen and the Bills have come back to earth a little bit since their fast start, but somewhat easy week pillow fight with the Jets last week. If Buffalo takes this one, they're 6-2 with a sizable lead on the division at midpoint of the season, and the Pats would be 2-6, or 2-5 for the worst start since 2000. So Blitzer Prevent, ding dong, the witch is really dead?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we thought the witch was alive when we saw Cam Newton and what he did the first two games. And now I think you can say, you know what, this isn't, it's like when Rocky cut the Russian. Or it's like when Tyson fought Stewart Lewis. Lewis and Emmanuel Stewart was in the corner. He's like, "You got a dead man in front of you," and he was still being cautious because he's like, "That's Mike Tyson. He can knock me out." Like, no, you got a dead man in front of you. Go finish the job. He's not this big bad wolf. And neither are Bill Belichick and the Tom Brady list. Patriots. I think they're vulnerable. I think they're average. I think they're ordinary. I think the talent is nothing to fear. And I think this is the opportunity. It was this little kid. I think it was the Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl where they came back and won. And I told him, or it was the one before that. I told him, listen, enjoy it, little kid. Enjoy that you're a bandwagon fan, that you only like the Patriots because they're winning. But guess what? I want you to like this because when Tom Brady leaves, your life is going to be miserable.
By the time
and
you're
I hope
15.
That 12-year-old kid is listening to me. And I hope he's enjoying the Patriots season because now it's all downhill from here. The standard was set so high, it'll never be where it was with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick at their heights. Nothing but misery from now on.
Wow.
Congratulations, Boston. Welcome back to the pack.
Let's take Aleem from Orange on Belichick here real quick, right in the middle of Blitzer Prevent. Go ahead, Aleem.
How you guys doing, man? Love the show.
Thank you.
But I think Bart has some misinformation that he's been giving out.
Did I?
Since 2013, the Patriots have not had 3 years of first-round picks, so they only had 4 picks since 2013.
Yeah, but they had double picks. They had double picks in 18 because they keep moving back because they think Bill is so smart that he can move back and keep acquiring picks. It's not they didn't have it. They trade them away and they acquire picks and they don't mind moving back.
In that time, their highest pick was 22nd. So with the way the NFL draft is, the worst teams get the higher picks. The better players go earlier in the draft.
Yeah, you don't have to explain that to me. You don't have to explain that to me, bro.
I thought you'd have a point.
I think Ed Reed was picked like 21st.
Well, wait, but what excuse is that? So you can't find talent at 20 through 32?
All
right, so then why does
you might not
even
think
bother?
I'm that talented. You might not think I'm that talented, but I was an undrafted free agent. Somebody found me, bro. Somebody found James Harrison, bro. Somebody found Alvin Kumar, bro.
I thought Aleem had something there, but the minute he stuttered, it was over. Backpedaling. Anyways, next game up, Rams at Dolphins. Rams 5-2, Dolphins 3-3, 1 o'clock again. Rams in Miami. are laying 3.5 in this one, according to Vegas. Suffolk's so undefeated. Out of the bye and into the fry, Tua Tagovailoa will make his first NFL start for the Dolphins. Only snaps he's had in the NFL so far were mop-up duty against the Jets when Miami smoked them 2 weeks ago. His last start will be 351 days before this one, when he injured his hip playing for Alabama. It's still quite remarkable, though. He managed to come all the way back a year later and now is a starter, and they hope the future quarterback of the Miami Dolphins. Now, can he be a winner, Bart? The Dolphins are very much in the hunt for a playoff berth, and depending on what happens in Buffalo against New England, could be in play for the division.
Yeah.
Okay, useful stat when watching this game, everybody. Rookie quarterbacks against the Rams are 0-5 since they drafted Aaron Donald. Yikes. Talk about a scary sight for Tua. The five rookie quarterbacks who came before him produced just 12.6 points, four passing touchdowns, and six interceptions. And I don't even know how many times they were sacked. It's probably such an ugly number, they wouldn't put it down. Yikes. All right, so Blitzer Prevent. Tua has one thing on his side, however. South Beach. Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Will the West Coast team going cross-country at playing at 1 o'clock have any impact on this?
Listen, South Beach is undefeated. The distractions, the power.
Welcome to Miami.
The power of what Luther Campbell used to say, of the P.
Yes.
Phrasing?
You. Star, 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 amazing. Star, star.
Amazing.
Exclamation point, exclamation point.
I think
point.
We know where you're going.
I'm telling you. Like, and listen, if they take this lightly, you know, they can jump on you. You know what I mean? And I think you think, talk about Tua, and everyone talks about how he struggles against the blitz and all that stuff, pressure. Listen, he's playing with professionals now, and let's see how he fares. But listen, you had to move on from Ryan Fitzpatrick because you knew what you were going to be. Yeah, if they really win and go to the playoffs, how important is that with Ryan Fitzpatrick? It's only important if you do that with your young quarterback and you get experience and let him grow with some of that young talent that you surrounded him with. You know, this is what we've been waiting for. We've seen Joe Burrow perform at a high level, and now we want to see Tua Tagovailoa perform at a high level because we've seen Herbert, and he was the one that, if not injured, would have been the first overall pick. So listen, Burrow did you a favor, you know, by going first, and you may have ended up in the right place at the right time. Let's see if he can change the narrative in the direction of this Miami Dolphins franchise.
Coming out of a bye, like I said, so he's got some time to prepare for this, but he's preparing for a guy, the quarterback killer in Aaron Donald. Put a little Halloween flavor on that Blitz of Prevent. Did you notice? I didn't want to overdo it. A little subtle.
I did.
Did you notice, though, each one?
This is the way.
Oh, The Mandalorian. Yes, it is out. Disney Plus, Season 2.
I just hate I waited all this time, and I'm going to watch it. I'm going to binge watch it if it's all out. And then I'm like, okay.
You'll get into it quickly.
I got to wait 360 days again.
Just Google it.
A lot of action. You'll get into it. Trust me. You'll get into it quickly. And if you haven't seen it, go to our Bart and Han Twitter handle or Instagram, because somebody had some fun with Photoshop. Is it Photoshop anymore? Like, is that an old reference when I say Photoshop? Like, if I say that, does anybody know what I'm talking about anymore?
Edits. But
basically, edits. Yeah, edits. Had some fun with edits. You are the child.
That's funny.
Yes. Yes.
And I am Mando.
They should have put some big googly Jedi eyes on me, some big Yoda eyes. So
you're just the wise one. That's all that matters.
This is the way.
That's what I like. We got some interesting answers, by the way, on our Twitter feed from the question on Halloween. The guys want to know, what are the biggest fears for your favorite teams going forward? Like Andre said, Adam Gase returns. That's it. John said Cohen gets blocked by the mayor.
Oh.
Yeah. Jonathan says the Yankees not starting Clint next year.
Pit of misery. Dilly dilly.
As in Frazier? Really? That wouldn't be too scary. Big Steve says Yankees keep analytics.
Mm.
Goodbye, sir.
Edward says what I say every single year, that I'll never see a Knicks or Jets championship before I die.
Bang! Bang!
Can I just get one? One of them. At this point, one of them, right? One of them would matter. Let's see. Well, the advocate said the biggest fear is, no matter what topic, Han tries to relate it to the Knicks. Do I do that?
Give him the gas face.
Be honest with me. Bart, be honest with me. Do I do that?
No, not at all.
Are you sure? You could be honest. You
I'm
can
positive.
Tell me.
Really?
Really? I would be honest.
I don't realize I do that.
You don't.
I didn't know I did that. Let's see what else. Ryan, this is a big one. Judge battles injuries his whole career.
Yeah, that's tough.
Brendan, not firing Dave Gettleman.
Ooh. Lewis Riddick, what up?
There's some good ones. Some good ones. I do have an update on the NBA season. There's some information on that. I'll give you that coming up. We have audio files as well. But I got to tell you right now about SNY, 98.7 ESPN. We have a Jets prize package for you. We like a Jets package, don't we? Bar, you
hey, phrasing!
Tune into SNY, the TV home of the Jets, for Jets postgame live starring Bart Scott with Jonas Schwartz, Nate Coakley, and eventually Alan Hunt. Following Sunday night's game against the Colts, I could dream, can't I? Catch the Jets, quote of the Colts.
Quote.
I'm reading this right off the script, and I shouldn't have said that. Following Sunday's game against the Chiefs.
They don't think they're playing the Colts when they're getting that.
Does not compute. Does not compute.
Catch the Jets. It doesn't matter who they're playing, does it? Catch the Jets quote of the game and tune into our show starting at 11 a.m. Monday for your chance to win official Jets merchandise courtesy of 98.7 ESPN and SNY. Jets post game live only on SNY.
Get your New York sports here.
We did it right. What's going to happen with the NBA? Mark Stein just puts out this tweet that has caught my attention, everybody else's as well. This is something that you can't overlook now, right? Like, so I told you that yesterday we talked about the season and how the initial offer of 72 games starting, you know, December 22nd. Training camp on the 1st of December. It's a lot of the players are like, whoa, this is too much too soon. We got to think about this. The union wants more time. I'm told there's a board of governors meeting set for next Thursday, and they want to have an answer by the end of this week. And the union's like, you're not getting an answer by the end of this week. There's a lot for us to consider. Well, here's what Mark Stein's now reporting. That if they wanted the MLK Day opener, which is what the players are really more pushing for, and I've said all along, I feel like that's going to be the day. That if they start on MLK Day, which is only a couple weeks later, the league would say we can only do a 50-game season then, which obviously means less revenue for the players, right, Bart? Less games you play, less revenue for the players.
Absolutely. So, that's how you get them.
Because they don't want to have the season get too late into July because they don't want to miss out on the Tokyo Olympics. They want to be part of the Olympics. So here's the thing. If you're starting MLK with a 50-game season, that's a lot of money that's clearly being lost by the players. So what are the owners saying here? They're basically saying ESPN and Turner want Christmas Day. It's a big deal to our TV partners. It's a lot of money that we would probably have to give back to these two in this deal. There must be something in the TV deal that is pushing the owners to realize, whoa, 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 we've got to play and we've got to have that Christmas Day. We've got to have this. I still think you compromise like 60 games. I think you find some compromise in between for MLK, but it does sound like the TV partners are the ones that are really motivating the owners to get back sooner rather than later. Keep an eye on this story. And that will lead us into our first item on Audio Files.
The Audio File.
So it wouldn't be Audio Files without little Brian Windhorst on talking LeBron, as we love to always have. And this is Windy on SportsCenter about LeBron and other stars not wanting to play in December. What would happen?
Nobody wants it to come to that. And in the past, even when LeBron has been upset about things, it hasn't come to that. But here's the reality. The reality is the overwhelming majority of players haven't played since September 1st. Eight different teams haven't played since March. So the overwhelming players, the rank and file, are going to want to play earlier. It's just a matter of getting those teams who are in the playoffs late, which are the teams they want to start on Christmas, to come to an understanding that it needs to be for the greater good. And it's going to be a process, but I think it's going to get there.
Bart, you think there's going to be an issue in the players' union among, obviously, the rank and file when you have the superstars that are pushing back, saying we don't want to come back soon, and everybody else saying we haven't played in forever. We want to get back.
You know, like we've been talking about, those players are going to go if you started in. They wouldn't be if it got a check in like a year. Yeah.
Great point.
That's a lot to ask somebody to sacrifice as they got bills on schedule. You know, the pandemic isn't going to wait for anybody. Their bills are still going to be available. I don't think they're available to be able to get some type of aid. So they haven't got a check, but they got big-time bills. I think that's going to be the pressure. So you have to understand the many versus the few. And, you know, LeBron or whoever, you know, whether it's Kawhi Leonard or anybody that went deep in the playoffs, you know, if they want to have low management games, then so be it. But, you know, it's not fair for the other teams that need to play because financially financially, their organization isn't doing well. They didn't make money because they didn't have any teams in the playoffs. So their local TV partners weren't able to benefit off of it. So now they're trying to push out content. As everybody's trying to figure out content. Because the great thing about having all the games and everybody play at the same time is great. But the problem is when all those teams in those seasons are over, then what do you do?
Right. I'm telling you, this is all about the money, the TV money. It always is about the money. But if there's a lot of players who would stand to lose money, the superstars don't feel it nearly as much as the rank and file. That creates issues within the union. And you know that's something the Michelle Robertson company, they have to manage. And we'll see where it goes from there. All right, into the NFL. One of the games I wanted to talk about in Blitz of Prevent, but we didn't, is the Dallas-Philly game. Cowboys-Eagles.
The bottom bowl.
It's Sunday night game. You're right. But this still has division impact. The Cowboys have been through a lot, clearly. A lot of issues going on within that locker room. The injury to Dak, notwithstanding, that's another part of it as well. But Mike McCarthy, who's been under fire as well, still says, hey, we control our destiny.
The facts of the matter, everything is still in front of us. I'm focused on what I normally am focused on, and it's about improvement. You have to improve each and every week, especially when you get into October. You know, you can see around the league, teams start to separate themselves. I don't spend a whole lot of time on the big picture. I think it's a waste of time. The only time I talk about it is you know, when I have to answer questions about it. I think it's important for your football team to focus on what's most important, and that's play style and fundamentals. That's been our point all week.
I like that, though. The last point, play style and fundamentals. We need to understand what we are, who we are, and how we go about winning ball games. Every team, every new coach always has a hiccup, and you either sink or swim when that happens. And I don't know if McCarthy has enough allies in there that can help him be able to push his message and say, listen, guys, he knows what he's talking about, because he didn't bring a lot of guys over there with him. With that being said, if Jerry Jones says, I'm not going to get rid of the coach, then you have to get rid of the players. Somebody has to go, especially if his message isn't reaching them. Then he needs to be able to show everybody his authority that, hey, if you don't, you either do it my way or you get out of here. You can't say, hey, well, Jerry Jones likes me, I'm going to go to Jerry Jones and he's going to nix it. No. Either get on board and understand that I'm the leader, or get off.
Do you think it's significant that they did, like, there's a few, they traded one guy, cutting other players, sort of getting, I want to say dead weight, but you know what I mean. There's,
yeah.
They were talking, who was it that he, Jerry they Jones was out of shape?
They got rid of Everson Griffin.
Yeah, Griffin they traded. Was it Poe that was out of shape?
Yeah, probably Dontari Poe. He looked like he was using two. You tell him, like, hey, it's a one uniform per person, sir.
But, like, if you move guys out of the locker room that you could tell are kind of sandbagging, that can change the locker room too, can't it?
Yeah, because people know, oh, snap, I get paid a lot of money. I better start earning my money and start giving the effort that I need, because right now they're getting rid of people, and I don't want anything. I don't want to pop on nobody's radar.
Yeah, the thing to keep an eye on, however, is, of course, they're down to their third quarterback now. And that's the question. They're starting a rookie, Ben DiNucci. So that is also what it, I imagine you're going to get a lot of running the football in this game.
Yeah, but the problem is your offensive line is so ravaged.
Yes.
Who's going to block for him? These are the same people that weren't tough enough to scrape up a linebacker. He's by his damn self. And he scraped up your quarterback. So who's to say that they're going to stand up and be tough guys now? Missing Martin. Travis Rager retired. Tyron Smith is out for the year. And, you know, Lionel Collins, the guy that was supposed to be like the swing tackle and your starting right tackle, was out too. So who are these Dallas Cowboys? And we're starting to see that. I don't care who you put behind that offensive line. If that offensive line is going to be that porous, you're not going to win a lot of games.
This is a turnover game, isn't it? I mean, the Cowboys have committed the most turnovers, 16, and forced the fewest takeaways, 3.
You got to actually attempt to tackle somebody to make turnovers.
Well, understand this, though. So they've committed the most turnovers and forced the fewest takeaways, yet Carson Wentz has a league-high 12 turnovers. So this is going to be a game where it's good. Turnovers are a big part of it. Now, if you're the Eagles, you're trying to, like, you need a reason to not win the division.
Yeah.
Like, you almost need the reason. All right, if we can't win this division now, we can start trading guys before Tuesday, and we can get under the cap. But if they win this game, it's like, all right, well, the division's ours. Might as well be all in and worry about the cap after the season. So there's a lot riding on this game in the division. It's a really interesting one, and that's why I just thought it was worth bringing up. It's two losing teams, but it's still two losing teams that have a chance to win a division. And how many times can you say that? All right, Bart, today is a bit of an anniversary.
Mm.
So on this day, in 2002, the Jets were 2-5. They just lost to a bad Browns team, 24-21. They were a mess. And it just felt like another season that's just going to head that direction now, where players start, as Chris Canty says, ship the cars home and, you know, start tuning out the coach and everything else. And a Jets reporter named Judy Batista, who we now see on NFL Network all the time, well, she was a beat writer back then, asked a very innocent question of Herm Edwards about how do you keep your players focused and locked in. And Herm said this.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go play to win. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, then retire. Get out. Because it matters.
Now, the Jets would go on to win the next four. Chad Pennington would become a hero for Jets fans. They would go 9-7, not only make the playoffs, but win the damn division and blow out the Colts in the wild card round 41-0. What a moment for Herm, and a moment, obviously, in Jets history that you never forget. And Bart, I can only imagine Herm Edwards coaching you, what that would have become with such a motivator that he was.
Come on, Bart. We played it, played it. We played it, win the game. Can't wait. Can't wait. Go play, out. Hello, Bart. I'm telling you to go play now. I can't wait. Well, stop waiting, Bart, and go.
Oh, okay. Thanks. I didn't understand you meant literally, coach.
But Herm's special, though, that way, right? Like, one of his greatest attributes. Like I always say, well, you take away the play calling from Adam Gase, what is he? He's not a motivator. He's not a developer. Like, he's not, now he's nothing.
Herm's all motivation.
Herm's a motivator. He can get you to play.
That's why I went to college, because you can really lay it on thick in college. But I tell you what, man, like, you think about that, you think about
playoffs.
Like, you think about all those quotable lines like in football history that you like, can't win with them. Can't do it, won't do it.
I want winners.
You know what I'm saying?
I want people that want to win.
You know what I'm saying? You think about all those
were
great things.
Who we
yes.
They were.
And we let them off the hook. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and Herm is right up there in like that top 10 greatest coachable quotes of all time.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's a beautiful time, and it's an important time in Jets history. I wonder if Herm still has that same speech when you talk about, hello, we play to win the game, because I can go out on every Saturday and watch a bunch of kids that are letting me down. Because they just playing the damn play. And everybody gets the damn trophy, and it drives me crazy. Herm, tell them to shut up. Because you play to win the game.
Can that work today? Can that style still work today? That kind of fire and brimstone? That kind of, like, you know, where you get a play?
It could.
I mean, it's still emotion. People are still emotional. Yeah. If you can reach somebody with your words, then I don't think that's generational. I think everybody. It's a human element, and he had it special. You have it, too. That ability to just say something in the right tone, in the right way, to get someone fired up. You do it to me every day.
You just put footprints, man. You just put a little tear in my eye, man.
Well, while you're
put me in the game, coach.
What a great moment.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, Lunch Money time, Bart. So we'll save the Giants-Bucks game, which is Monday night. We'll save our pick till Monday so we can see what the line is and maybe anything else that happens, COVID, injuries, whatever.
It's going on crazy, crazy, man. You just saw that Broncos, there's other people.
Yeah, who was the linebacker on the Broncos? And then another lineman from the Vikings tested positive. So you got that going on. And we know the Giants are going through what they're going through, although everybody that was contact tracing-wise to Will Hernandez is back in the facility. They're testing negative, so they should be fine, other than Will Hernandez, which is a loss for them at their line. So again, we'll discuss that game. Right now the line's 12 for the Bucs. Monday night, but we'll wait till we get to Monday. So we'll do Jets Chiefs 1 o'clock. Obviously, Chiefs right now, that line went from 22, it's down to 19.5. And Bart, I don't care. The Jets are going to be without Perriman. We know now. Crowder, it looks like, is out.
Mm.
So, you know, what weapons do you have at this point? I know that Chiefs defense isn't great, but I don't care. I am taking the Chiefs. I am going to just rest easy, just watching this game, crying myself to sleep.
Yeah, this is the Bell Bowl. This is the Bell Bowl. Oh, so I'm going to take the minus 19, because even if they were going to come in flat, whenever teams go back and they play against somebody that has beef, which I don't understand why Le'Veon can have beef, they paid him his money and they sent him to pretty much potentially be in a Super Bowl for the first time after being, you know, coming back from the layoff. So he should be happy, but he's still going to put 10 on 20. And I think Eric the Enemy, to your point, is going to be auditioning to be the head coach for the New York Football Jets. And he's going to do that. He's going to put on an offensive display. So now you have Eric the Enemy that's motivated. Now you have Le'Veon Bell that's motivated.
Well, how about even Andy Reid that wants to, like, let the Enemy sort of have a moment there?
Yeah.
Get him his job. Like, do you think Andy Reid in the back of his mind is also doing that? Like, I'm not messing around with this game, but once we're pretty comfortable, I'm going to let this guy kind of like swing it a little bit.
Well,
so he shows New York media, hey, this guy's the guy, and let me get my guy some juice here. You know what I mean? Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I think the biggest compliments to Andy Reid, not only did he win his championship, but I think that makes him a Hall of Famer, puts him right there, especially if he can win another one. But he also sent off Doug Peterson, who won a championship. He put Matt Nagy up in Chicago. So you started to have to put some more respect on the Andy Reid tree. And, Eric the Enemy, I just think it's the next edition of the next Andy Reid disciple that goes out and does great things. Let's hope that he does it for the green and white.
Let's see. All right. Well, so that's, we both are picking the Chiefs in this game. All right. My game real quick is going to be, I hesitate, but I'm going. I don't care. Here's why. The Rams-Dolphins game is interesting because the Rams on the road are laying 3.5. I know it's a rookie quarterback. I know Tua's getting his first start. They're coming off a bye. I know I gave you the stat about how rookie quarterbacks are 0-5 against the Rams since Aaron Donald got there, and he just started just destroying rookie quarterbacks. I get it. But Miami has covered 12 of their last 17 games against the spread. And since last season, rookie quarterbacks in their first career starts are 11-4 against the spread. It's the L.A. to Miami. It's South Beach. It's a 1 o'clock start. I am taking the points. I'm taking Miami.
You're taking Miami.
Crazy, right?
No, not crazy as a fox sometimes. We shall see.
We're never going to survive unless we're a little crazy.
Yeah, South Beach, exactly. Sometimes crazy is the borderline of genius. It's like the first stage of genius. You know what I mean? Because they say all the great ones was crazy. They thought Michael Jackson was crazy, sleeping in a hyperbaric chamber. Then I end up buying one later and sleeping in one myself. And it became, but he was crazy first. He's one of the first to do it. I'm going to go over there too. M&T Bank Stadium, and I believe that that the Steelers, and it pains me to say, is going to beat the Baltimore Ravens. So I'm going to take the Steelers +4. And I think I'm hoping that the Ravens lose. I never wished for the Ravens to lose. I wish that they lose so it sparks them to make movement. Because great to go get Yannick Ngakoue. Great to lock up Ronnie Stanley, by the way, which I told you they were going to lock up Ronnie Stanley, gave $98 million. But I told you also that means that we can potentially in a year or two go get Orlando Brown because they can't pay both. So we can have Becton and Orlando Brown. But that's something neither here or there. Just get in your mind.
You keep doing this. Teasing me about what the Jets
Orlando
can do.
Brown, Zach Ertz. Just start getting used to those type of names because that's what you got to get ready for. So don't even worry about that.
Trevor Lawrence. I'm sorry.
You want. If you want him too, we can get him too. Juju Smith Schuster. Juju Smith Schuster. But I tell you what.
What was that?
Juju Smith Schuster. But I tell you what. I just think that the Ravens don't have enough weapons for him. And I think if they lose this week, they're going to identify that they know that not only are they going to lose the division, they're going to be the wild card in that division. And the fact that they're going to have to go on the road and Lamar Jackson's going to need some more weapons. So I hope that they can call, for Kenny Galladay from the Lions, or they can reach out to Will Fuller, or they can reach out to Kenny Stills to get, Lamar Jackson a bona fide star. Only having 2 touchdown passes to none receivers is not going to get it done. So I'm going to take the Steelers, and I hope it starts a chain reaction of movement for the Baltimore Ravens, identifying, like I told them 2 weeks ago, that they need to try and trade for Julio Jones, get with their first round draft pick, because before you know it, it's going to be time to pay Action Jackson, and you ain't going to have no money or no hardware.
That's the pick. I can't believe you're picking against your team, but I like it because you're not putting emotion in it. That's not what you do when you make picks. So that's our picks for this week. It's Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN. We are driven by the Lexus ES, now available with all-wheel drive, giving you control and confidence to take on almost anything. Experience amazing. See a Lexus dealer. Man, it's been a busy week, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's really a lot of, and there's only football left now that the World Series is over. But, you know, I'll tell you what, next week-wise, if you think about it, there's going to be a lot of NBA news late next week about whatever the season's going to be. As I told you, they want 72. They want to start December 22nd. They want training camp to begin December 1st. But the players are kind of pushing back. They want MLK Day, which is the 18th of January. Not so bad, only a few days later. But then the league saying, fine, then you can only play 50 games.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of cheese missing on the taco if you only play 50 compared to 72. Trust me, my contract works the same way. So I stand to lose money, too, if they don't play at least 72 games. So
those other players that don't have the same security or the shoe contracts or Harding $200 million contracts like Curry, they're going to be saying, you know what, I need to pay this entire schedule because I need all my money. So it's going to put tremendous pressure on these superstars not to be selfish. And that's hard to say, but you know they'll figure a way out, and they won't come back and really play until after that day. You know, because they'll load management. They'll say, "I got an injury." They'll get a fake surgery or something like that. But you know, it's for the best of the league. And guess what? We're the ones who benefit. More basketball means more excitement, means more belief that the Knicks can finally figure it out, and that we can see that if Kevin Durant, you know, dissing the Knicks and giving us the gas face, if all that comes to fruition,
it's gonna be interesting. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting, man. Like all that stuff. We'll talk about that, but again, Tuesday, not only election day, but also
I just hope it's not the purge. Yeah, it's a trade deadline. I just hope Wednesday ain't purge. Hope the country ain't on fire.
Well, NFL though, it could be some moves made. It could be very interesting to see what happens there. So we got so much to do, and then the Giants play Monday night. Discuss that. Rex Ryan on Monday, as always with us. It's always a lot of fun.
Ooh, so
great week
day,
though,
we'll
Bart.
Be responding. Election Glad day, you're still we'll with me.
And have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday.
Aha! Why are we getting off so early? It's only 5:57. We got 2 minutes.
We're done.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.